I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm so glad you've joined me today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Today, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about the sources of deception. You know, many sincere people are deceived because they don't take the time to see if the information they're receiving agrees with God's Word. The men challenge us now as they sing.
Searching the Scriptures, the blessed Scriptures, seeking the Savior day by day, striving to learn the wondrous story. What does the blessed Bible say?
Join in choir,
the King Commander,
ask of the Lord
for me and thee.
Knock at the open door
of mercy,
where there is pardon
full and free. Searching the Scriptures, the blessed Scriptures, seeking to know the heavenly way, trying to reach the golden city. What does the blessed Bible say?
Join in choir,
the King commanded.
Ask of the Lord
for me and thee.
Knock at the open door
of mercy,
where there is pardon
full and free. Searching the Scriptures, the blessed Scriptures, seeking the wonder by the way, trying to point us soul to Jesus. What does the blessed Bible say?
Go and inquire,
the King commandeth.
Ask of the Lord
for me and thee.
Knock at the open door
of mercy,
where there is pardon
full and free.
Yes, my friend, we could save ourselves a lot of unnecessary confusion if we'd only be more careful in analyzing what we hear. You and I must learn to search the Scriptures. And I remind you, if you hear something on this program that doesn't line up with the Scriptures, please let us know. Our desire is to be faithful to God's Word, but we know we're not perfect. So we need you, our listeners, to make sure that we stay close to the Word of God. A source is a point of origin. For example, a stream has a source, the place where it begins. When we're seeking information on a certain subject, we sometimes talk about going to the source. By that, we mean going to the person who is closest to the action or the one who will have the most accurate information. Deception is the act of deceiving or the fact or condition of being deceived. It's the process by which you and I are led to believe things that aren't true. So sources of deception are those things the enemy uses to initiate the process of getting you and me to believe something that's not true. In our world, there are many things or devices that promote deception, but there really are only a few basic sources of deception. And we could spend the next half hour talking about some of those devices, but the problem is we'd probably miss the specific devices that are influencing you. So I believe we must deal with the major sources of deception. Because if we know the sources, that will help us to recognize and deal with the symptoms before they become a major problem. Now, our scripture text for today is James chapter 4, and verses 1 to 10. I invite you to listen carefully as I read this portion of God's Word. That's James chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. An examination of this text reveals three foundational sources of deception. The first source of deception we see is our humanity. You know, verses 1 through 3 don't present a very pretty picture. Our fleshly appetites are the source of so much evil. The words lust and desire and consume express the drive of our passions, and they lead us to covetousness, to strife, to war, and even to murder. You know, the evidence for this begins in the Garden of Eden. The biblical terminology for this is the lust of the flesh, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. Our fallen humanity has but one desire, and that is to gratify self. Now, how can that lead to deception? Well, think of someone you know who once walked with Christ, but no longer does. Or perhaps you can think of someone who claims to be a Christian, but the lifestyle they live continues to move them farther and farther away from the standard that's given to us in God's Word. What caused them to start down that path? You know, many people take their first step away from God because of a fleshly desire they want to gratify. They set their heart on that which they cannot legitimately have. Just think of Mother Eve, free to eat from every tree in the garden except one. Every tree. Except one. And what does she do? I can picture her walking around the forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and looking at it and saying, well, it certainly looks like it would be good to eat. There's certainly nothing wrong with it. And Satan was right there to exploit that desire, that appetite. That's the beginning of deception, when we believe the lie that looking at something or thinking about it won't hurt. You know, is it any wonder that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Just prior to that, he used a boxing metaphor, and he spoke about giving his body knockout punches, talking about his flesh. You see, this is no cakewalk in the park. This is deadly serious business we're talking about. Many years ago, when I was working in a large factory, there was an attractive young lady who worked there as well. She was good-looking, she was friendly, but she didn't meet the biblical qualifications I had established for a life partner. So you might say she was, to me, forbidden fruit. And part of my job responsibilities took me past her work area on a regular basis. But one day, I began to realize that I was going out of my way to go past the place where she worked just to look at her. I was like Mother Eve circling that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I began to realize in my spirit that I was heading down a path where I really didn't want to go. So what could I do? Remember, we're talking about our flesh being a source of deception. What's the temptation that many people face when they reach that point? It's to rationalize. Well, God gave me these desires, so they must be good, must be okay. Or, if God knew I couldn't handle these desires, why did He give them to me in the first place? And we begin to rationalize away the clear truth of God's Word. Well, I didn't want to go down that road, and so I knew what I had to do. My knockout punch to those desires was to deliberately take a different way through the factory to avoid passing that area where she worked. Now you might say, J. Mark, your actions were just a symptom of a deeper problem. Well, that's probably true. And I'm so glad for the grace of God and for the deliverance from sin that He's provided. And I'm glad for those who hold me accountable for my continuing victory, my wife, my young adult sons, and my brothers in the Lord. But I share that to illustrate how our flesh can be a major area of deception. We are at war with our carnal or fleshly desires. They are aroused by our physical appetites. So you can name any physical appetite you want, and if you're not on your guard, Satan will use it against you. When Mother Eve was confronted with her sin, she tried to blame the serpent. She tried to blame the devil. But you know, we can't use that excuse. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, we're fully responsible for the choices we make, and to deny that reality will lead us down the path to self-deception. So we must continually be on our guard against allowing the desires of the flesh to control what we do. I don't know about you, but I find that to be a daily battle. We must remember that this is perhaps the strongest line of attack Satan has against us. He uses our fleshly desires. And today, many people are trading the reproach of Christ in order to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a brief season. Well, there's another source of deception, and that is our prosperity. Now, maybe you wonder where I found that in this passage. Well, take a look at verse 4. Whoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. A friend of the world. The word friend is philia, and it means a fondness for something or someone. It's derived from philos, meaning family love or brotherly love. It's a word that speaks of relationship, and there are feelings of affection. The world, as it's used here, refers to the world's system, the world's way of doing things, their worldview, you might say. What's one of the outstanding features of an unbeliever's worldview? Isn't it that it's the material part of life that matters? And it's that belief that motivates the goal to accumulate. The goal to accumulate often becomes exclusive of all other goals. And Jesus referenced that in Matthew 13:22, when He spoke about the deceitfulness of riches. Now, am I implying that people who live in poverty aren't able to be deceived? No. We all know that Satan wants to deceive all people. But he's like an experienced fisherman. He's smart enough to know which bait or lure to put on the hook. Again, going back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, I believe this source is the lust of the eyes. It's true that our eyes are often the initial avenue that Satan uses to begin the process of deception. That's what he used with Mother Eve. She saw that the tree was good for food. And just to help us understand how serious this is, James grabs our attention with some shocking words. And remember, he's writing to Christians, but he calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Whoa, that makes you sit up and take notice. What is an adulterer or an adulteress? It's someone who has left their first love. It's someone who is deceived into believing that what they don't have is better than what they do have. Now, do you understand how James uses these words to show the error of a Christian identifying with a materialistic worldview? What is it that's so deceptive about prosperity? Well, I believe the Bible teaches us that prosperity creates an illusion of security and satisfaction. Remember the words of Jesus to the church at Laodicea. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, that's what they thought about themselves. But Jesus said, you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Why didn't they know that? Because they had been deceived. They thought they were well cared for. They thought they had it all together. But in reality, Jesus said, "You're living in poverty." One result of our prosperity is the tendency to develop an ungrateful spirit. And that, too, is a dangerous deception. When we become accustomed to having the things we want, when we want them, it becomes very easy to believe that we deserve them. And if we have that attitude, that we deserve certain things, then we won't be thankful when we do get them. After all, we have a right to them. They're ours. But you know, it's only as we realize that all that we have and all that we are is because of the mercy of God, then we will be grateful for even the very smallest of His gifts to us. And if you and I are not genuinely grateful for the things God has given to us, we will not hold Him in proper regard. If we're not thankful, how can we properly glorify God, the giver of every good and perfect gift? If we're not thankful, we'll become vain in our imagination. We'll somehow suppose that it was our ability or our power or our might that have gotten us these things. And our hearts will be lifted up with pride. So pride is a deception that comes as the byproduct of an ungrateful spirit. And James mentions it here in verse 6. He says, "God resists the proud." And incidentally, the verb tense is that God's resisting of the proud is a continuous, ongoing action. It's taking place right now. I am deeply grieved at the pride I see in the church today. And I wonder, is there any connection between our pride and the continuing struggles we have loving each other and demonstrating God's love to our world? Is God resisting us because of our pride? I challenge you to think about that. The Word of God is clear and plain. Prosperity is a very dangerous source of deception. And then the final source of deception is our philosophy. Now, don't let that word scare you. Philosophy is simply the foundation for what you believe and how you communicate what you believe to others. You need to communicate what you believe in a way that other people can understand. And we sometimes express this in one word. We call it our worldview. Of the three foundational sources of deception, I believe the Bible teaches us that the pride of life is the most dangerous because it can lead us to self-deception. And it's often the most difficult one for you and me to pick out. Even though we're warned in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 against thinking we're above temptation or deception, we all have the tendency to think we're right. And that very fact is part of our battle with the flesh. Our minds become the battleground between God and Satan. By using our fleshly desires, Satan appeals to our intellect, to our rational thought processes. Now, there are two phrases in these verses that remind me of the deception that comes through wrong philosophy. First of all, we are instructed to resist the devil. He's the source of wrong philosophy. You see, it was his worldview that got him kicked out of heaven. He said, "I will be like God." And he used that same philosophy on Mother Eve. He said, "When you eat of this tree, you will be like gods. You will know good and evil." Many people today have the tendency to set their human understanding above God's divine revelation. They would teach us that the Bible contains God's Word, but it is not all God's Word. So they need to decide, based on their worldview, what is really the Word of God and what isn't. And they want you and me, the unlearned and ignorant, in their opinion, to embrace their error. Then the second phrase in verse 8 is, "Purify your hearts, you double-minded." What does it mean to be double-minded? Well, the literal meaning is to be two-spirited, to vacillate back and forth between two opposing points of view, to be unstable, to attempt to embrace truth as defined by God's Word and at the same time embrace man's ideas. You want an example of that? Those who embrace the philosophy of theistic evolution give evidence of double-mindedness. They attempt to reconcile two opposing philosophies, two foundational belief systems regarding the beginning of all creation. Now, why do they do that? Well, in some cases, they want man's approval. To be accepted or recognized in the academic world, you must accept the philosophy of evolution. And then for others, it's a misguided attempt to try to reach across the aisle to those who reject Scripture. The thinking is that maybe if we see things from their perspective, they'll reciprocate and look at it from our perspective as well. But is that the way it works? Hardly. What people fail to realize is that when you question the accuracy of a portion of God's Word, you call into question the whole scope of divine revelation. If we can't accept the Genesis account of creation as accurate and literal, then what other parts of the Bible can't we trust? When people embrace wrong philosophies, you can have a pretty good idea of the direction they're headed, because wrong philosophies undermine the clear teaching of God's Word. When the authority of God's Word is undermined and we rely on our own standards, then there is no clear guide for life and behavior. Obedience is no longer important. Truth becomes what I want it to be, and I'm free to set my own standards of behavior. Well, if you think about that, remember the words of Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, as we bring this teaching to a close, I cannot leave you on a negative note. How can we be sure we won't fall prey to these sources of deception? Well, James gives us the prescription right here in our text. First, he says, submit to God. Recognize God's authority and power, and place yourself in subjection to Him. And then he says, draw near to God. Do you know what the picture is here? I was so blessed when I discovered the meaning of this. The words translated as draw near literally mean to squeeze in the bend of the arm. I call that a hug, and a hug implies relationship. It implies closeness. My friend, the greatest insurance against deception is a growing relationship with Jesus the Master. And then there are several further counsels. He says, exercise a spirit of repentance, verses 8 and 9. Be willing to admit when you have erred, when you've strayed from the truth. And verse 10, be humble, be approachable. You know, brothers and sisters, none of us are above deception, especially if we're alone. So there's tremendous value in brotherhood, in being part of a group of believers that will hold us accountable for the way we live out our Christian life. A group that will chase us down and take hold of us and say, we love you too much to let you go down that path. So the remedy for deception is truth. I invite you to renew your commitment to accepting, practicing, and understanding the truth. And by that, it will go a long way in keeping you and me from deception.
Walk down that lonesome road all by yourself. Don't turn your head shoulder and only stop to rest yourself when the silver moon is shining high above the trees. If I had stopped to listen once or twice, if I had closed my mouth and opened my eyes, if I had cooled my head and warmed my heart, save you from your troubled mind.
that lonesome road all by yourself. Don't turn your head back over your shoulder and only stop to rest yourself when the silver moon is shining high.
My friend, I hope this program has been a blessing to you. If it has, we'd like to know that. We always appreciate feedback from our listeners. And when you write, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD copy of this teaching, The Sources of Deception. Now, the easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can also log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to this teaching at your convenience. We also encourage you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, you can learn about upcoming events, or you can read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 to request a printed or an audio copy of this teaching, The Sources of Deception. And if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org. Or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Today, we looked at the sources of deception. Next time, Lord willing, on the Voice of Hope, we'll look at the fruits of deception. So you plan to join me. And until we meet again,
walk down that lonesome road all by yourself. Don't turn your head back over your shoulder and stop to rest yourself when the silver moon